Our scene opens in a very lovely appointed sitting room in a manse somewhere in the upper half of Melshar. The lighting is dim, the atmosphere is quiet, peaceful, and very polite. Two high-backed chairs face one another, red velvet upholstery over dark, heavy lacquered wood. One chair is empty. In the other chair sits a gentleman. Dorathius, describe yourself to us.
Oh, Dorathius is a tall, lithe man, wears a lot of dark colors, usually with a splash of color that he can quickly hide if he's working. Dark hair and thin-faced and has a kind of perpetual arrogant sneer that is somewhat undeserved.
Well, Dorathius, you have been called once again by Lady Annabelle Royce, your contact within the Shadow Consortium, and she has asked you to come by rather suddenly. So this meeting, I'm sure, is of interest to you. You sit, her footman prepares the usual glass of deep red wine for you. You hear the sound of quiet footsteps approaching. The door opens and she appears. Lady Annabelle, as always, is dressed in the height of fashion. Her shockingly bright blonde hair is up. Her face is made up in the latest style as well. Ah, thank you, Dorathius. I apologize for my sudden invitation. A matter has come up rather quickly, and we determined that you were the man for it.
My lady, no apologies are necessary. Of course, I am pleased to do whatever I can at your beck and call. Ever your servant.
Yes. Yes, you are. She takes up a glass of that same red vintage and takes a sip. Well, I know you are aware of our current standing in the city. We are still pushing our agenda with the council and believe we have finally gotten an inn, or at least something that could lead to that. And I was hoping that I could count on your services to help this along.
Of course. What must I do? Are we killing people? Or talking to people?
Well, we're talking to people right now.
Excellent.
Hopefully this shouldn't come to that, but I know you are prepared to do whatever needs to be done.
As always.
Excellent. Well, I simply need you to accompany a gentleman to a meeting with the Temple Master. I have come into the acquaintance of a group of people newly brought into the city who I believe are somehow in the center of a vast confluence of events that we could push to our advantage.
Well, I look forward to meeting these people.
Yes, I'll give you the dossiers of these people so you can go over them before we meet. But one thing I must warn you about this group before we all meet. They are very, for lack of a better word, good.
Ah.
They are forthright. They seem to be honest. And they seem to have a will to throw themselves in the way of danger that would harm others. These people usually make the best shields. But in this case, I believe it is important that these people not perish quickly and see their affairs to the end.
Ah, I understand why this is now complicated. Excellent.
Yes. Like I said, we will go over the particulars of the peoples involved. If you can pay special attention to one of them, if at all possible. There is a gentleman, human as far as I can tell, who is, of the three of them, the only one who seems to be hiding something. I believe he might have either killed or knows who killed a low-level member of our group. Not that any kind of real retribution would be needed in the case of this agent falling to some sort of bad end. He himself was not worth the bother, but the circumstances around his passing are very unclear, and this gentleman was not being forthright with me. This is nothing that you should jeopardize the more important part of your mission for, but if you get the opportunity to learn a little bit more about this person, I would consider that a favor.
Of course. What's this person's name?
The person is going under the name Kiernan Locke. He claims to be from the Riverlands. He claims to have been living in the Elven Forest. So, I have no reason to doubt that other than that I know he was hiding certain bits of information from me, especially about this Dervin Fane character. So you have never heard of this person before, but that's fine.
My expression will betray to Lady Anna that I do not know who she's talking about. I'm not going to ask because it doesn't seem important.
But in the meantime, there are two things you need to be aware of that are going on in the city that these people have brought to my attention. One is that there is supposedly a large force of Claudian troops amassed to the north of the city for some reason. And this should probably ring in your head a little bit, as by birth you are Claudian.
I will, because she didn't tell me any details, so she either doesn't know them or is withholding them. I will not ask details, but I will run through a lot of questions in my head, like, who's the commander? What legion? What the, you know, all the stuff that, like freaking out about it a little bit, and then just quietly passing it away is not important to what I'm doing right now. Very well. So how do we expect to confirm this information?
I have people looking into it.
Very good.
The proof of this is based on hearsay, but I believe the source believes it. And considering that there is a legate of the Claudian Empire in the city looking to meet with the council, this might have something to do with that. That might be something you're aware of, but it's been about a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
You will probably know from within the consortium that there have been Claudians slowly leaking into the city. You know, like one or two or small groups just kind of coming in, which is not unusual. It's a, you know, they trade with the city, and I'm sure there are some people of Claudian extraction who might live here, but there's no like organized presence of them here. So it's a little unusual and probably unsettling. The other thing is that there is apparently a virulent contagion loose in the city that can turn people to the undeath.
Ah, that sounds bad.
Yes, something bad has apparently burrowed under our city. We know very little about it, but there are some people who are looking into this. Our priests are now aware of the situation and what to do about it. I will need to ask you to undergo a physical examination before you leave, however.
Of course, yes.
I have a physic here. It'll be very professional.
Very good. Very good. Of course.
I'm going with the assumption that you have not been bitten by an undead person.
Yeah, not in recent memory, no. Yeah, no, I should be fine.
So, in the meantime, I have just sent word to this gentleman that we will be meeting with his party this evening. He had one request of us, was that you and I meet with him and presumably his group and submit to a zone of truth.
Very well.
This is the kind of thing that these people do. They assume that we have ulterior motives and that every other word out of our mouths is a lie, which on many occasions, as you know, is true.
Yes. Yes, that is sometimes often true, but it doesn't have to be. So I think we'll be all right.
Yes, I think this is one of these rare occasions that our aims are pretty much as they are. It's almost kind of refreshing how simple this will be. So you can expect the unexpected.
Of course. Well, with the Claudian Legion and the undead, I presume there will be some minor difficulties, but we can see it through. Should be no problem.
Very well. Sorry to cut this chat short, but I have a lot to get to. And a door that you've never seen before pops open in the back of the room. Yes, you'll just need to go over there for the exam.
Excellent.
Just pop your clothing on the chair.
Very well. And I will start the process of taking off my oddly very intricate amount of pseudo-aristocrat clothing.
And as you prepare for this physical examination, you hear a voice in the back of your head.
Well, isn't this interesting? You got yourselves quite in the middle of things, haven't you? This will be a very, very fun party.
Welcome, welcome! We are the Architects of Entropy, and this is Lucky Episode 13. Yes. Ooh. We have really backed ourselves into a certain amount of corners with this one, I think, guys, right?
Indeed. we'll figure it out.
I mean, how many corners are there? Really?
Yeah, I mean, the room can have many sides. This is also the first episode that I'm recording in my dedicated studio that I built in my house, because I've come to the conclusion that we're never probably going back to a real studio anytime soon. So I'm just going to build one in my house. So I did.
That works.
We'll see how that goes. And the other thing is, if you just listen to the introduction at the beginning of the episode, might be confused that there was a whole other person there that you've never heard before. I'm going to introduce our first and hopefully a series of guest players. This is our friend Scott.
It's me. Hello. That was a scintillating intro. So I hope everybody is prepared for some real spectacular guest starring today.
Yes. The fun thing about our guest stars is they're people that most people don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be great to be the first guest star. So when the trivia comes in of, like, you know, when Scarlett Johansson guest stars on episode 99, and they'll be like, wow, who is the first guest star? Who is that? It's going to be cool. So I'm excited to be low-level internet famous.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Low-level internet is where we are.
That's what we strive for, low-level internet famous.
I mean, maybe you'll be like Craig Kilborn, you know, host of The Daily Show.
If only. That is the level of trivia I'm hoping for. Let's do this.
So, Scott, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, geez. Well, gaming-wise, grew up playing, you know, like the basic D&D, Keep on the Borderlands kind of thing. So basically with my brother and his friends. So I was the annoying younger brother who got to, you know, get murdered all the time in the dungeon crawls. Mm-hmm. And done a lot of gaming with some of the people on this podcast for a very long time.
That's right.
And it's nice to get back to D&D because I have lots of games from the 90s with wacky dice conventions. So it's exciting to just roll a D20 now and again. That's it. I mean, I could talk more about myself, but it's pretty boring. I have arms and legs and, you know, I'm a human and, you know, it's
great.
I'm medium sized. So, yeah.
All right. So last we left you, you had a meeting with a representative of the Shadow Consortium, a Lady Annabelle Royce, and three dark cloaked friends who never were introduced, but had occasional input in the meeting you were in. It was determined that your plan to help bring the Shadow Consortium onto the council is going forward. You have your meeting, Razor, with the Temple Master in a couple of days after the events of the meeting and the Goblin Fighting Ring, etc. And in the meantime, she was going to select an emissary to come with you to that meeting, and you were to meet ahead of time so you could cast Zone of Truth on them and grill them for a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And two things just happened. One, the party was informed by Grenna Brightflame that she has a very strong sense that Loretta Bumblecrouch is still in the prison, and that the only way to find out for sure and conceivably release her would be for Sabina herself to go down there and ask for that to be done. Idea being that somehow you're either going to convince her to do it or disguise one of yourselves to go down there and do it. So you were left with that. And then before she left, she planted a big kiss on Razor, which the others weren't present for, but certainly Razor was. And that little bit of romantic tension threw a whole other aspect into this that I thoroughly enjoyed making everyone uncomfortable with. So
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. And the next day after that meeting, you all have rested in the tavern. You're there with yourselves and two others, Grelb the Gargantuan, the goblin pit fighter, who has pledged himself to your service, and a serpent folk named Ulyss, who was not killed in a fight, so he is going to help work off his debt to the Shadow Consortium and people who let him live. And as he was sold to the Shadow Consortium by his family, he doesn't have anywhere to go. But the good news is the Shadow Consortium has gifted you with this tavern that you can use as your base of operations as long as you're in the city and do whatever you want with, really. It's your secret clubhouse, your meeting, and maybe a place you can make some money. So you are woken, actually, to the sound of hammering above your heads as workers have seemed to have flooded into the building. And you see the first thing that happens is the trapdoor that you all came through is covered over, hammering and nails, and they're putting a proper floor over it. I will also tell you that given the opportunity to hang around down here, you have found a secret door. I'm not going to go through the whole thing of you looking to find a secret door because we know how long that can last by the whole trapdoor incident. But there is a secret door actually in the back of your kind of bar area there that goes into a regular basement, like the real basement of the tavern, and then goes up into the building. So you can get up into the building from there without anyone, you know, really noticing you. So there are workers everywhere. One of them hands one of you a note that's in a sealed envelope. And if you examine this sealed envelope, it will state that these workers were paid by Lady Annabelle Royce, a wealthy noble, we're just instructed to fix this tavern up in any way you wish. The only non-civilian worker there is a gentleman they sent specifically to get rid of that trapdoor. Other than that, everyone there, you can attest to, is not really wise to what's actually going on here. They're just like, okay, this rich lady paid us to fix up a tavern. We're going to fix up a tavern. So they are there doing that.
Got to do something about the name.
Yeah, so when they get to the point where they pull down that old wretched sign, a gentleman comes up to you. All right, well, one little piece of information we weren't given is what you're going to call this place. You got a name? Or we're just going to call it the Andy Gurr.
That would be silly.
Yes, we'll be something sensible.
Right.
Like Taco Bell.
Well, I know what a bell is. That must be some kind of local reference I don't understand. But if you want to call it the Taco Bell, we can do that.
No, that is out of character.
Desperately wanted that to be in character. All right. So if a DM was to put you on the spot and say, name your tavern right now, would that present a problem to you?
I don't know. I kind of like the Talking Bell. But, you know.
Sure.
The Bell Jar? Is that a little too morbid?
All right. Well, the Talking Bell is so far the winner.
Works for me.
Sounds perfectly all right to me.
All right. Bar will be called the Talking Bell. Which is a perfectly fine name for a bar. All right. So the Talking Bell is being worked on right now. So a large portion of your day is going to be spent shifting contractors around, making sure that the place is put together to your specifications, and that within a couple of days' time, this tavern will be ready to, at the very least, supply, if not open. There are a ludicrous amount of people here doing this job, which means that Anna probably outlaid a ton of gold to make this happen. But if you guys can help deliver what she wants, I'm sure it'll be more than worth her time. So during this time, what is the discussion? You're kind of given some time to figure out your next steps.
Yes, I suppose that myself and Kiernan should come up with a plan.
Agreed.
It might not be a bad idea if I were to talk with Umar and Sabina to make sure they weren't there.
Perhaps see if she's got a schedule?
Or arrange a meeting or something.
Right.
What do we know about this location? Can you give us a layout of some sort?
I was going to ask you, Rick, actually, what the layout of the temple is.
All right, well, there's probably a large open area courtyard where they do a lot of their drilling. And by drilling, I don't mean digging into the earth. I mean more so of military drills, as they are a faction that is trying to produce warriors against a potential coming apocalypse. So they do a lot of that. It's probably two or three stories high above ground, and then probably a similar two to three stories below ground. And of course, the forges and stuff would be below ground and well vented. I guess the cells, and by cells, more like for the quote monks, would have been below ground. For the acolytes, the higher ups would be above ground. But some of those were probably turned into the cells that are being used to hold Loretta. It's my guess, because I don't think they really have an actual dungeon per se.
Right. So yeah, this is something that actually was described in an intro to a previous episode. And I left it as vague as possible. Basically, there was a larger dungeon at one point underneath the temple, but it has largely been unused. A lot of it has been turned into storage. But these particular cells that still exist are off on their own, like a level below the priest cells.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a single locked door that goes down to 8 to 10 small cells, but only a few of them are populated, supposedly, by 4 Claudian soldiers and this halfling. So if she's down there, there's really only one way to get up and down, but you can always just open a random cell door and hope no one's in there if you need to hide.
So, I mean, getting down to the area won't be a problem, but getting past that one chokehold will be.
That's the big trick.
So, do we know the guards that are taking care of Loretta, or do we not know this?
You know that those same guards that you fought alongside of during the halfling protest are the same guards. They're Sabina's personal guard.
Okay.
And there's 5 of them But one of them stays with Sabina, like her personal attendant, and the four other guards are, from what Grenna told you, staying down there in those cells all the time.
So they went from being personal guards to jail guards. Seems kind of a demotion to me.
It's all part of some kind of grander plan, you think. You know that Grenna has keys she can get anywhere. It's just that the order that the temple is under is that no one goes down there. You are pretty sure that a lot of the stuff going on Umar isn't aware of. You have no idea how he would take it if you were to find out. And given how he has reacted to other things he's found out about previously, no reason to think that his reaction would be in any way helpful. But you can feel free to just tell him everything and see what happens.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
No.
All right. Another messenger comes later in the day as it approaches evening, drops you another similarly sealed envelope.
Rip it open.
What you have here is an invitation to meet with Lady Anna and her associate at the Fork in the Road Tavern this evening in about an hour's time.
Fork in the Road. Now that'd be a good name for a tavern. We missed out.
I like ours better.
So as you're discussing these plans, Grelb is helping moving heavy shit around, and Ulyss initially was staying out of everyone's way until he occasionally would break in and offer suggestions as to where to put stuff, make himself helpful. He's largely like been cleaning, but you notice that he spends a lot of time like watching everyone, and by about midday, he goes from just watching everyone to helping them. And then developing a weird rapport with everyone, even though people are freaked out about serpent folk. After a few hours, people seem to be relatively comfortable with him. And the way he talks to everyone, it's different depending on who he's talking to. Like, he's zoning in on how these people behave and reflecting that. Like, he's very observant and knows how to deal with people, even though he's strange and kind of alien.
And are his suggestions for where to put stuff tasteful?
Yes, for a place like this. It's certainly not going to be a fancy place because that wouldn't make any sense here, but it's not right. Going to be a like total shithole. It's going to be like a nice dive. Place as safe as you want it to be. But he's really good at getting along with people. He's really good at observing people and learning what they want to hear.
And interior decorating.
And he's not a bad decorator too. And he seems to know his way around a bar.
I'll ask him for a drink, and I'll ask for a mixed drink of some sort, just to test if he knows what it is. Yes. Nothing particularly complicated, but, you know.
And as this dwarf asks for a mixed drink, several of his ancestors roll over in their graves. He throws together a fantasy old-fashioned for you, or whatever you ask for.
Nice.
And he seems to know what he's doing.
Ask for a Manhattan.
He will figure out what that is and, you know, make something up.
We may have just found our bartender.
We have to come up with our signature drink, the Malshar Mule.
All right. As you're planning stuff too, Grell will be like, you need a strong hand in any of this operation. Let me know. I'm always ready to, you know. And then he just kind of fist in his hand and
bouncy is he?
Yeah, this and that other matter you were discussing. Not that I'm listening in, but you have a friend in trouble, it sounds like.
We do.
Oh, just saying. I'll leave that up to you.
Sir, we've got to formulate a plan first to see how much muscle we need or if we'll try a more finessed approach.
Okay, so here's where we are now. It's getting on evening. You have about an hour before you are to meet Lady Anna and her contact, and you have the meeting with the temple master tomorrow morning. So time's kind of becoming a premium for all this.
Well, if only we could have somebody impersonate Sabina.
Aye, but that would be a boon.
It would be.
Take a look over at Kevin. Do you know of any way we could make something like that happen?
What would one say were that to occur in order to be able to get Loretta out of the room, do you think?
Well, you've met Sabina. She's an imperious, over-official jerk. So be arrogant and commanding, and her people will probably listen.
Without questioning, you think?
I think so. As long as the real Sabina's not there, I think you'll be fine.
She does seem the sort that does not suffer inane questions.
True.
Or any questioning of herself.
I mean, the prevailing belief of the Claudians is that their whole thing is absolute order. The idea that somebody might question their commander's orders seems out of character, but even if they're really strange orders, anything is possible. They also know her real well, that they are her personal guard, so.
We know their names.
You did spend a bit of time with them. Everyone give me like a retroactive perception roll just to go back and see how perceptive you were on the day.
Mighty 13.
Not nearly that perceptive. Seven.
I did worse than that.
Okay. Let me roll for Durvin Fain. Oh, okay. That's right. He wasn't really there. Okay, for the 13, I'll give you something. There was Sabita's personal guard, and then there were the four others. The one who seemed to be the most in charge of the four others was named Voltis. That's all you remember. He was the one who got hurt, and I believe one of you, I think it might have been you, Zika, healed him.
Voltis. That was the one I healed. Voltis. Yeah. Right. I don't know if he'll be actually down there by the door, but, well, I know his name. That's what I've got.
To start.
Brenna has been there the whole time, so she might know all the other names.
Razor, is there any sort of a back door we can go out of once we've got Loretta, assuming we get that far?
Not that I'm aware of. It's pretty much a one-way in and out scenario. I mean, some of those dungeons down there are not mostly explored. It's possible, but it seems rather foolish that they would have built a forge on top of a place that would be easy to get in or out.
Are there goods or items that are regularly brought in or brought out?
Well, certainly. Foodstuffs, alcohol, iron ore. There'd be plenty of things that would be brought in and out.
Perhaps we can smuggle her in a crate.
Hey, there's an idea. I suppose my thought then is all we really need to do is get her from one part of the cellar to a different part of the cellar, clear out a box or a barrel, and then we're on our way.
Exactly. I believe I can handle the first part, I hope.
I can probably get you a barrel or crate or something to be shipped at a certain time.
At this point, Ulysses walks over with this barrel and doesn't say anything. He just kind of walks over, sets it down, and then walks over and does what he was doing. It is an empty barrel.
And it looks like it would hold a halfling.
Actually, yeah, it could probably hold, at most, a dwarf. Definitely a halfling.
We look inside and there's like pillows and blankets in there.
Little food.
That guy's good.
So then perhaps I can bring this in as someone who's supplying.
As a delivery person.
Exactly. And then I will become Sydney. And then we can bring Loretta to the location with the barrel and hopefully get her out.
Aye, that'll do, I think. I'll come in with you. We'll both be delivery people. I wager I'll disguise myself as just a different one of my kind. Just a working person. And once you become Sabine, I'll become invisible. Or perhaps I'll hide in your pocket.
You know, goblins often work with people, move things around. You know, not really super great at hiding, but...
Grelb, do you want to come with us?
I'm just saying I have a lot to do. It's either that or I feel like I'm going to be having to fix the roof. I don't want to do that. Let's just say I'll be your insurance policy. If somehow everything goes to shit, I'll just start swinging and y'all can just run. It's not a situation I haven't been able to get myself out of.
Kiernan, what do you think?
That sounds like a good backup plan.
All right, so I'll hang around and then we'll see what happens. I think it's a solid plan.
Thank you.
I think so. Or perhaps we'll just go right to having yourself and Kiernan as the delivery people, and I'll be a wee mouse or something hiding in a pocket. Then I suppose I'll be the insurance policy. Everything goes well, then you're nothing but two delivery people. Perhaps I'll never have to come out of my wild shape at all.
Yeah. Yes. Mouse hiding in the pocket. I like that.
There's certainly no precedent for that.
Kiernan, how did you become a master of disguise?
It's something I picked up over my youth, and I've managed to improve my skills.
That'd be a heck of a trick. Can't wait to see how it works.
Thanks. I do just need a bit of privacy.
Bit of makeup.
Exactly.
While this talk is going on, Ulysses is going to come back and talk to Razor. Obviously, I know what you're talking about. Pardon my eavesdropping, but it's a habit I seem to not be able to kick.
Well, here's the question. Are you going to go blabbing to anybody else? Or are you going to be at least somewhat loyal to us?
I literally know no other people other than the family who believes I should be dead.
Well, in that case, I'm not terribly worried that you did a little bit of eavesdropping.
The timing on this whole thing is becoming rather tight.
Yeah.
You have your meeting tonight, and then in the morning, you have to meet with the Temple Master, and I believe that if in the meantime you are dragged into something else, it might jeopardize that very important meeting.
That's true.
Plus, it would be advantageous for you, as a priest of the Forge, to be nowhere near this operation.
Oh, absolutely. That was my first thought.
I think perhaps if these things were to occur simultaneously, at least if both of the operations are successful, all the better. But if one is not while the other is going on, at least that won't jeopardize the other from happening. It's a kind of fatalistic way of looking at things, but our people are very, well, fatalistic.
My people are too. And I think there's wisdom in such, so as much as I would like to help them, I don't think it's good for me to do so.
Yes. Yes, I find that our people are very similar, with one notable exception. You exist to prevent the apocalypse, and we exist to be the apocalypse. Or at least we did. Now I'm not exactly sure why we still exist, but I intend to not waste my existence.
Well, that's good to hear, because if you were looking to create the apocalypse, I might have to end your life.
No. Here's the thing about the world. If it ends, what do you do? All right, so if you all are happy with what you've done right now, the time for your meeting with Annabelle and her envoy is close at hand.
All right, we'll head back. Well, at least I'll head back to the fork in the road. If anybody wants to join me, they may do so.
If you want.
Oh, certainly. If you don't mind being in a zone of truth.
Oh.
No. I don't have anything to hide.
And remember, Zone of Truth doesn't make you say things. It just makes you say the truth when you say them. If you don't want to answer the question, you don't have to. Plus, you're all on the same side, theoretically, here, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I also did say that I was going to keep questions pertaining to their intentions with the meeting as opposed to just general grilling them about everything.
So, we will flash ahead to the fork in the road. It is a average evening at the Fork of the Road Tavern. It's a relatively slow night, as most have been since the unrest has started. Not a lot of good people go out at night anymore, but those who do are usually people who either have no reason to fear what's going on or have no other option than to be out, because this is when they work. This is when they need to do what they need to do. So everyone here is somewhat on edge, but it's, you know, trying to relax. Elzik does his best to make the atmosphere here light, as he likes his tavern to be a friendly place without a lot of bother. As you enter the tavern, you see three or four tables where there are people. One table in the corner, you see a couple of figures enjoying some wine. Doesn't take you too long to figure out that these people don't exactly look like the normal fare for this place, but certainly aren't sticking out. As you come in, one cloaked figure will look up and wave a hand over.
Oh, I believe we've been invited to join them at their table and walk over there.
So you all sit. Lady Anna will throw back her cloak, and her hair almost looks in this light to be kind of a mousy brown, but it's hard to tell. The light is very low, and it looks like she's wearing very little, if any, makeup, but she still has those slightly paler bronze complexion to her. It seems to match her hairstyle a little bit more here.
Like somebody who would be a native of Malshar?
Absolutely. She definitely has the kind of Mediterranean-ish coloring of a Sapphire Islander. And a gentleman sits to her left. Scott, if you could describe your facial features a little bit.
Kind of a narrow, kind of angular face, a little aristocratic, and has a kind of an olive-y complexion, but less pronounced. But there's a little aristocraticness to it, but otherwise would fit in pretty well. But like, there's something kind of in the eyes and the curl of the lip that makes it seem just like I'm better than you. And so that would probably, he'd have to school himself to make that go away. And then he would fit in anywhere, but just has a general look about being just better than his surroundings.
Well, thank you very much for joining me. This is a lovely place. It is much merrier here than other places in the city these days. I like that. I would like to introduce you to our special envoy for this endeavor, Dorathius.
Well met.
Dorathius, this is Brother Ordrum Flaskmaster of the Order of Forge.
Greetings.
Zika Hardwater of the Isog.
Hello, pleasure to meet you.
And our friend Kiernan Locke.
Hello.
It's a pleasure to make all of your acquaintances.
Well, as much as the pleasantries are, pleasant, I suppose, we do have business to attend to. I have apprised Dorathius to our situation, and he has agreed, like myself, to submit to your questioning and the Zone of Truth.
Very well. And just out of curiosity, this zone, it's not going to overlap on other people's tables or anything, is it?
No.
Okay.
No, as a matter of fact, it looks like she picked this place because it wasn't going to be within that 20
right.
foot, whatever radius.
Yeah, all right. Well, no time like the present, I suppose, to get started.
Yes.
And I'll cast the spell, kind of subduedly, but just kind of quietly, and see what the results are, if anybody makes their save or...
You can relent to this if you wish. Anna does. God, if you want to make a wisdom save...
Charisma.
Oh, God, that's even easier for you to make. He would know if you... So you have been instructed to relent.
Yeah, so I'll relent. I follow orders. I'm not...
Yeah.
She's right here.
So they will be compelled to tell the truth in anything they choose to say. And if you guys want to make saves, you can.
I probably reflexively would.
No, go ahead.
I'll relent.
Okay.
I'm sure I failed.
What'd you get?
I get an 11.
I'm assuming that does not succeed.
I'm assuming that doesn't either.
Okay. So everyone here is compelled to tell the truth if they didn't speak.
Well, my first question is, did you enter into this agreement with me in good faith? Pointing it specifically at Lady Anna. You know, it's vague, so she can probably weasel around that. But...
Yes, I have agreed to this in good faith. We all want the same thing in this regard.
At tomorrow morning's meeting with the Temple Master... Other than to influence through strength of words and conversation, is there any intent of ill will or to further influence the Temple Master?
She looks over at you, Dorathius.
No. We are of a shared purpose of influencing the Temple Masters.
And you will not put the Temple Master under any sort of magical compulsion, is that correct?
I don't really think that would serve us. I mean, the magical pool of ultra. Oh, no.
No, that's not correct.
Wait, no, we're not going to put him under any... Look, ask the questions like a regular person, please. I know you're a priest, but come on. Be clear in what you're asking. No, I have no intention of putting him under magical compulsions. I don't think that would help anyway, because those are generally temporary. If you have access to a long-lasting compulsion, that is a different negotiation we can have.
Lady Anna puts her hand on yours, Dorathius, and please calm down.
Dorathius' face has changed from his, like, kind of sneering noble looking down on everything, and he's, like, bright and opened and excited to be talking to people.
Do you intend to cause any sort of physical harm to the Temple Master?
No.
Neither myself or any of my associates either. I can't imagine why. Unless for some reason she means us harm?
In which case
we will defend ourselves.
Yes. I would expect nothing else. That being said, you don't intend to provoke her to cause you harm, do you?
No.
Very well.
Can't I mean, that's an interesting challenge, but no.
Lady Energy goes to say something, and then she just stops. Like, her mind is kind of spinning as to, if there's a way that would work for us, she's trying to figure out how.
Right.
And she's like, no, I can't.
No, but no. The question occurred to me, and you were so willing to submit to them.
This is quite an interesting delving into the way your mind works.
Don't dig too deeply. Is there any other questions that my companions seem to think I have missed? I mean, I could be here all night, but I think we've got the basics.
I will drain my wine goblet and say, well, if we're going to be here all night, someone needs to buy another round.
And I'll click my fingers. And
Elzik Shalimar himself will pop over. Oh, look who's back.
Yes.
You have some friends.
I do. And if you could get us another round of drinks, that would be most excellent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Another round for Brother Flaskmaster and his friends. And a very, very large and jolly man brings you another round of drinks, whatever you were having.
And I'll point this one specifically at Lady Anna. To the best of your knowledge, do other members of your consortium have different plans for the Temple Master than you do in relation to the meeting tomorrow?
I am unaware of any who would. As far as I'm aware, myself, my three associates you met yesterday, and Dorathius are the only ones who know of this meeting. And my three associates, I can assure you, would not betray me.
Very well. I am satisfied. Kiernan, Ziga?
I do find this amusing, but I don't have any questions.
Hey, Kiernan.
Yes.
I need you to give me a wisdom save.
11 again.
Okay.
I suppose I have a question. If we meet all your ends, see it on the council and all that, what sort of vices, shall we call them, will you bring under the umbrella of legality?
As far as I know, legality, I guess, is the thing that is the sticky wicket.
Permissibility, whatever you... What sorts of things will be allowed to go on?
We are not looking to change laws, if that's what your question is.
You want a seat on the council, but you don't want to change any laws?
No. We just wish to handle our business ourselves. There's a lot of moving pieces to this. The vices that exist in the city, whether they're legal or not, will persist, as they always have. As far as the letter of the law goes, a lot of things that are against the law or believed to be against the law are not as cut and dry. Let's take, for example, drugs. There are illicit substances that flow through the streets of the city every day and night. However, there are very few substances that are on the books as being illegal, and most of them are poisons. Most drugs or other alchemical reagents or magical potions that people take for their own pleasure are not strictly governed by the law. But their side effects are public intoxication or any other illegal behavior that these substances would bring on are strictly governed against. But the possession of or distribution of these substances in and of themselves, you'll find not necessarily illegal, if that helps at all.
I suppose I'm still confused then. If it's not illegal, then what changes do you need to make?
The change that we need to make is that the organizations that see these substances in and out of the city, the people who purchase and sell these substances and are doing no harm to others, should be free to do so, knowing that they are under the auspices of the Shadow Consortium. So if in the performance of their duties they do something that causes others harm, that we take care of it internally.
It seems like it's already set up for that, that the guard will take care of it if they're available. It sounds like you're saying you're already doing that sort of thing,
Well,
I suppose I don't understand.
Let's put it this way. Under normal circumstances, we are. However, if in the normal course of duties, our people are observed or reported to the guard in their duties, they are imprisoned, they are prosecuted, they are dealt with.
It is currently not illegal to possess or sell certain drugs, and it is illegal to, you know, commit wanton murder or stealing or that sort of ruckus. But it is illegal to be a member of the Shadow Consortium.
Yes. Our organization is not recognized as a legal organization. Our activities are generally prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
As what? What crime?
Name one.
I'm not sure. It seems like you'd like to operate as some sort of paramilitary organization within the city, but simply existing without committing any crimes, just standing around being a member of the Shadow Consortium, is illegal?
It's very complicated, Ms. Hardwater, but I assure you, as I've stated before, we're not looking to become a paramilitary force to enact some kind of evil plan in the city. We just wish to handle our business without the constant interruption of the council. If we were sanctioned under the council, then they would simply be able to come to us if they had any issues. As of right now, the Shadow Consortium is being viewed as a criminal organization. We do not wish to be a criminal organization. We wish to be a legitimate organization. We wish to have a say in things that are going on in the city. I feel I have explained this to the best of my ability, and I do not feel I need to further explain this to you. If you want our help, which it seems you do, I don't see the purpose of continuing this line of questioning.
Simply wish to understand who it is that I'm working for. Do you mind if I ask then a history question?
Feel free.
How did you come to be viewed as a criminal organization if the things that you're doing are largely not illegal?
See, you're putting a lot of words into this that were not strictly said. I didn't say that we're not involved in things that are illegal. I just said many of the things that are assumed to be illegal are not. It's a very complicated dance we do. But you asked if we want to change the laws? No, we do not wish to change the laws. Do we want to have a hand in the creation of future laws? Absolutely. And historically, we have been viewed as a criminal organization because our organization was started by criminals. Are we satisfied?
I suppose.
I am satisfied.
Anna looks over to Dorathius. Do you have any questions?
Well, I have so many questions, but I think nothing that's a yes or no question at this time. The gaze will kind of fall over everybody as, like, you know, considering. And when he's not snarling and looking like he's looking down on everybody, he's actually just half a handsome.
I do have one question, and I don't know if you could actually answer it, and I'm certainly not asking, but I really, really still do wonder about our friend Durvin Fane. And when she says those words, Kiernan, I need you to tell me what your surface thoughts are.
Well, my surface thoughts are probably, don't say anything, don't say anything. Keep your mouth shut.
Are you picturing anything or anyone when that name pops into your head?
I probably would think of Tahar.
Okay. That will just remain a mystery for the ages. And it's not germane to our conversation, so forget I brought it up.
Forgotten. I realize some of our questioning went a little beyond what our agreed questioning area was, but...
No, I apologize. I did not mean to become defensive. To be fair, at the end of the day, what winds up happening because of this partnership, well, who knows? Will it even work? We do, in this instance, our city is under siege from possibly several fronts. Those of us within the city need to work together if we wish to have a city. The threat of Claudian rule was not something that great minds like Rorg had to fear, but myself and my associates, our eyes have turned to the north occasionally, and the stories we hear from the people who come there are not pleasant. If the Claudians were able to somehow take over the city, then they would have the ability to push out into other areas of Iamora and maybe bring this whole area under their rule. But if they did so with all these other things going on, who knows what could happen.
Now, you understand it's not just the area or the city, but it's the people that we need to worry about.
The city is its people.
But the people can survive without a city, if necessary.
But the city and the people are one. So without the people, there are no people. Yes, buildings, walls, neighborhoods. But these are people's homes. These are important.
No doubt. I'm just expressing where my true concern is.
Yes. I will also at this point like to point out that Dorathius has submitted to a full physical examination, and no evidence of the infection has been seen on his person.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
They were very thorough.
Well, I did not envy the job of whoever had to examine him, so I'm quite grateful that it was previously done.
Kiernan, what are your surface thoughts? Never, you don't have to answer that. Whatever they are, someone might know them. But
I guess I'm questioning. Is there subtext in this? What's happening right now?
Is there some kind of flirting going on? I don't even understand.
That's what I'm thinking, yes.
Or is she just trying to embarrass this guy? Anna will excuse herself.
Once Lady Anna leaves, I will make a flourish when she goes and bow down and sit back down at the table and be like, all right, well, the boss is gone. What are we doing?
Same thing we were doing before, I think.
Yeah, no, am I coming with you? You guys coming to get me? What's going on? Where are we going? What's next?
Well, in the morning, we will be meeting with the temple master.
The logistics of that, how are we doing that? Should I come with you guys? Do you want to come meet me somewhere?
Well, if you wish to stay the night here, I can book you a room, as I am already residing here, and then in the morning we can leave together.
All right, great. And I'll look at Zeke and Kirin. What are you guys up to? What are you guys doing? You coming with us? Do we get more drinks? What are we doing? Completely different person.
Yeah.
Completely different person.
Completely different person.
I suppose I don't have any more plans for the evening. I suppose I could tie one more on.
All right, great. Let's get that very happy bartender over here. Signal him over, get some drinks, get some nibbles, you know.
Right. Yeah, I mean, this place, you know, kind of the fantasy equivalent of pub fare. You know, there's some, I don't know, mutton.
Ale, stew-based things. Yeah. All right.
Potato skins.
Potatoes.
Squirrel on a stick.
That kind of stuff.
You know, normal pub fare.
What part of the squirrel is your favorite?
The chops.
As far as this place goes to your sensibilities, Dorathios, it is an absolute shithole.
Yeah.
It is relatively clean and no worse than many other places you've been forced to stay.
Yeah, presumably when they run out of the wine that we brought specifically for them to serve us, I stopped drinking here.
Yeah. Yeah, this is Crampton. This is not a nice neighborhood. It's not Shadyside. It's not like a place where you might get murdered in the night. But, you know, I don't know what kind of crazy person would open a tavern there. It is pretty close to there. And the thing about Crampton is that they're just people everywhere. They're just all on top of each other, and it's very claustrophobic. And the Shadyside is just really dark. I will assume the night goes on relatively pleasantly.
And I won't stay out too late. I won't get too drunk.
Right. The plan in the morning is that Razor and Dorathius will head to the council district to meet with the temple master, and the rest of you are going to do this jailbreak. We will switch our attention to the jailbreak, and that will be the focus of our next episode. And Razor and Dorathius, we will get to your story later.
Good luck storming the temple.
Try not to kill too many acolytes. Most of them are good people.
And we will see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. We have an email address now. That's right. You can send us an electronic mail.
Fancy.
Yes. At entropypod. That's entropypod at gmail.com. If you have any questions about, you know, what's going on, if you have any gripes, you want to hound me about rules I've messed up, I don't care. I'll take anything at this point. entropypod@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening.